Thank you, choir. Well, here we are at the end of the Thanksgiving to Christmas season, and as always, at all times, for all people, it has just been the most wonderful time of the year for everyone here, right?
Yes.
Right? Some of you, the way you're looking at me, maybe not. In fact, I guess it has not been always the most wonderful time of the year for everyone. My mom is a counselor, and she tells me that the most busy season for her is the build-up to Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's when people are the most stressed out and in need of a counselor. Maybe it's not always the most wonderful time of the year. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you're worried, what's Uncle So-and-so going to say tomorrow? Maybe you're worried, how will my gift be received? Maybe you're worried because of something going on in your life. Maybe your job is in jeopardy. Maybe you haven't received test results yet. Maybe you're worried you'll be alone tomorrow. Our second text today is a prophecy from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And this was written during a time of worry, and it says darkness. In the midst of a dark, dark time, where can hope be found? Perhaps this is where you can find hope too. Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors, all the garments rolled in blood, shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. Well, in the movie Office Space, Peter Gibbons hates his soul-killing job at Inatech. And so he goes to a hypnotherapist to find some relief or some sense of hope in his despair. He describes his predicament this way to the therapist. He says, "So I was sitting in my cubicle today, and I realized, ever since I started working, every day in my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's the worst day of my life." The therapist asks him very seriously, "What about today, Peter? Is today the worst day in your life?" "Oh, yeah." And the therapist replies very helpfully, "Man, that's messed up." Have you ever felt like Peter, though? Like things just, like every day is just worse than the day before it, or maybe that each year seems to be setting a new low bar in your life? It seems to me that a lot of people are feeling that this is a particularly troubling season of life right now. I mean, if you want to start a fight, there are three ways to do it, three topics that are pretty easy, right? Politics, money, and religion. If you do those three powder keg conversations with your family, now you've got soap opera level drama, right? And it seems to me that there are some emotional debates going on in those areas right now. Is this, like Peter felt in Office Space, the worst time ever? Is it worse now than ever before? Does it feel like the sky is falling? Well, when Isaiah wrote this prophecy about the coming Messiah, it was written during a time when many people thought it was the worst year ever. Politics, well, their country had been conquered, defeated, leaders kidnapped, they were occupied, their supposedly divinely appointed king had been dethroned and had been deported, imprisoned by a foreign power. That's a bad year for politics. Religion, the temple of the Lord had been destroyed. the visible symbol of God's presence among us was knocked down. The Ark of the Covenant, missing. The priests were forced into slavery and shipped off to the conqueror's capital city. That's a bad year for religion. How about money? Well, the country was conquered because they refused to pay protection money to that foreign power. So the foreign power came in, conquered them, sacked the city of Jerusalem, took all the gold and silver out of the temple because they knew the pillager's maxim, which is that you pillage and then burn. Then they knocked over the temple. There was no money left. And then that foreign country said you still have to pay protection money. Crops were destroyed. Able-bodied workers were taken into slavery. That's a bad year for money, too. Israel, at the time when Jesus was born, was in a similarly tough season. They had just enjoyed a season of political independence, but then along comes Rome. The Romans had conquered them a couple decades earlier. They were charging intense taxes, putting a strain on the economy. And there was a religious debate as well. It's technical. I won't bother you with the details. But some of the religious leaders were saying the way that the Romans are collecting these taxes is against our religion. And so the people had to make a very tough choice. They could sin in the eyes of God and pay their Roman taxes, or not pay their Roman taxes and be killed by the Romans. This is not a good choice in that religious debate, right? That's a bad year. How about you? Are you thinking that, as you think back on this season of life right now, are you celebrating? Has this been the most wonderful time of the year, or has this been a challenging season? Does it feel like the sky is falling? Does it feel especially difficult right now? Many people feel that way. And into the midst of these difficulties, Isaiah says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. I remember being in a natural underground cavern. So there's no natural source of light. But this was pretty touristy. So, you know, there were walkways and paths and lights everywhere. So you could see the amazing formations inside the cavern. But then in one of the large caverns, they had the group stop and hold on to something, and they shut off the lights. Absolutely no light at all. Have you ever been in 100% pitch black darkness? Not even like a smartwatch, you know, putting a little glow on something. Not an Indiglo Timex, nothing. 100% pitch black. Whenever that happens, our brains start playing tricks on us. What's that noise? Am I in danger? Is there any way out of here? Total darkness is tough to deal with. But other times, I've been in caves and caverns with just like a little headlamp. It's not a whole lot of light. But my brain wasn't trying to play tricks on me. Just a little bit of light, that's fine. But no light at all can mess with your head. My wife and I have been watching the very uplifting miniseries Chernobyl, about the nuclear disaster in Chernobyl. You came here wanting a Chernobyl reference for Christmas Eve, right? You're in luck. There's a scene where there are these workers, three workers, go in to the middle of the underneath the radioactive power plant, and they have to drain the water from these tanks. If they don't, it will explode with enough force to pretty much destroy the entire country. It's high stakes. They have to succeed. And as they're making their way through the darkness, they've got their flashlights, but then they start flickering as the radiation gets more intense, and finally their lights go out. The radiation had killed their batteries. They have no light at all, trapped underneath a radioactive power plant. They start to panic. They start wondering, where do we need to go? Where do we need to go? And one of them remembers on their belts, they have those little flashlights that, you know, you grip and they work for like 3 seconds. Well, they had those on their belts, and they still worked. And then they didn't have to panic anymore. Just a little bit of light was enough to let them know where to go, to regain their composure, to finish the job and get back out. I tell you this just to illustrate, it just takes a little bit of light, no matter how deep the darkness. So what darkness do you have in your life right now? Maybe like Isaiah says in this text, you feel like it's a land of deep darkness. Maybe you feel like you're in a cavern with no light at all, or you feel as trapped as those workers underneath Chernobyl. Is the darkness inside of you because of debates over politics? Does that make you feel hopeless? Debates over religion, does that make you feel hopeless? Debates over money or health, does that make you feel hopeless? Family issues, relationships, does that make you feel hopeless? Simply a run of bad luck, uncertainty, does that make you feel hopeless? One of my favorite Christian radio songs right now says, "I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin, for nothing stands between us." Nothing stands between us. The message of Christmas is the unquenchable light. No matter how deep the darkness, the birth of Jesus is a flicker of hope that will not be snuffed out. It's like one of those trick birthday candles, you know, that you go, and then they pop right back up, right? It's like, it keeps coming back. Jesus is like that. He cannot be snuffed out. His flame always keeps relighting itself. The birth of Jesus is the unquenchable light. We know he was human. I talked about that on Sunday. But he wasn't just human. He had a little more in his tank than the rest of us. Isaiah says, authority rests on his shoulders. He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's a pretty good set of names. It shows you some of the things that he can handle. My name, Cody, just means pillow or cushion. I'm a little jealous of that set of names. The birth of Jesus shows us that the one who has all of those incredible titles, all of those incredible names, that one is personally involved in our stories. The one who is stronger than the mightiest hero is personally involved in your story. The one who has more knowledge than Google and Amazon and Facebook and Wikipedia combined is personally involved in your story. The one who is wiser than any philosopher or priest or ruler is personally involved in your story. The one who has more compassion for you than any saint, any servant of the people, is personally involved in your story. The one who even death could not stop is personally involved in your story. His light will shine in any darkness, including yours. Now, if you stop looking at that light, if you close your eyes to the light of Jesus, then your life's darkness might feel like that underground cavern with no light at all, no hope at all. That's when your mind will play tricks on you. The slightest noise, the slightest touch, the slightest thing that goes wrong might make you feel hopeless. But if you open your eyes, if you look to the light of Jesus, even if it just looks like a tiny little flicker in the midst of penetrating darkness, that little light is enough to let you know you'll be okay. Because God Himself is personally involved in your story. It doesn't mean Jesus is going to always make the darkness go away or He's going to make things look the way you want them to. He does that sometimes, but not all the time. But He always offers you light that cannot be overcome by any darkness. He always offers you the personal presence of God so that you are never alone. He always offers you hope that can somehow live in any situation. That's the good news of Christmas. And this good news wasn't saved for just rulers and leaders and important people. This good news came first, we heard, to the shepherds. This good news came in the form of an otherwise anonymous poor couple from Nazareth. This good news came first and foremost to everyday people like you and me. Jesus doesn't reserve His attention for important people. Jesus is personally involved in your story. And so I pray that that light, that hope, that assurance will carry you through even the deepest darkness, because the light of Christ cannot be snuffed out. As Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The light of Jesus, the hope we have in Jesus, is enough to make it through any darkness if you keep your eyes on that light. Everything else can be extinguished, but not Jesus. Amen.